Blog Talk Radio.
No Static Radio. All new.
Yo, yo, yo. This is Spiv Rock in the house. I want to give a big shout out to all Philly, all world, everybody in the listening area. Yo, this is the Mike and Dis One Show. www.blogtalkradio.com for the latest of all underground and new releases.
You're gonna love it.
People, it's the Mike and Dis One Show. No Static Radio. What's going on?
No doubt.
We're back. I know it's been a little while since we've been off, but we're back again. You know, we're going to try to make it more consistent as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually, I wanted to do a few. Actually, I'm going to do a shout out real quick because I wanted to do a little interview, quick interview today. But I guess because of weather and other things going on, we weren't able to make that happen. But shout out to Charlie Angel. She's listening out there. We just want to let you know. We'll get you in here sooner or later, so don't worry about it. What I want to do, what I will do in the future, is I want to do a couple of how can I say this? With Dope Stack Records, I want to do kind of like a bring back old artists and do a new mixtape type thing with them.
Uh-huh.
You know, kind of do an interview on the show as far as where they at in their musical careers or whatever else they may be doing right now. Like I know one of the guys, Dangerous Minds. Shout out to Dangerous Minds. He's a photographer now.
Oh, word.
Yeah, he does a lot of videos and prom pictures, stuff like that. And he's doing pretty good with that. I look on his Facebook page. That's a shout out to Rob Live. Robbie Live is his Facebook name. And I see him with shots with, I think one of the, I think I see him in there with Big Daddy Kane and Reverend Run. He's done some stuff with some other media type people. Like right now on his page, he's doing a lot of prom pictures.
Okay.
You know, wedding pictures and stuff like that. So definitely shout out to Rob on that. You know, good job with all that. I remember when he first decided he was going to do that. You know, first he started off, he was doing some producing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he had a little crew and everything, and he was doing what they were doing. Then he started doing videos for them. And I guess he really kind of just gravitated towards the video part. And just started going on with that. He was doing some stuff. I believe her name is Asia Sparks.
Huh.
He's doing a lot of her videos.
Okay.
You know, so he really did good with that. So I want to start. I want to get the guys in the studio, do some recording, do some interviews. Of course, we're always looking for artists to come through and do those type of things as well as like radio drops and all that. So if you're interested in doing anything like that with us, you know. Hit me on my email or on my Facebook. My Facebook, of course, is Mike Leaving the Plantation. So, or you can do actually, I guess Mike Irwin.
Mm-hmm.
It's still registered as Mike Leaving the Plantation. If you put that in there, it'll take you to Mike Irwin. You type in Mike Irwin, it takes you to Leaving the Plantation. You know, so I don't know what that's all about. I think when you change it, just go back to that.
Yeah.
I just accidentally did this Mike one time and it popped up Leaving the Plantation. I was like, oh, okay, so it's still there. Anyway, you can hit me up there or my Gmail, which is dostackrecords1@gmail.com. So that's dostaxrecords1@gmail. Best way to remember that, because some people get mixed up with the stacks part.
Uh-huh.
If you actually put it all together, it actually some people actually read it as Does Tax Records. Does Tax Records 1. So I was telling you, if you remember Does Tax Records 1, then you it'd be easy to remember as far as the spelling.
Exactly.
Is concerned, you know, so you can do it that way. Yeah, actually, I didn't see it myself. I took it to somebody. And they was reading it and said, Does Tax Records? It says that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it does say that. Oh, okay. All right, yeah. So when people got mixed up with the Stax part because they didn't know it was STACK or STAX, you know. Actually, most of nobody really thinks it's the X part.
Word.
You know, because I actually got that from Stax Records, so, you know. Stolen
classic label,
you know. So, again, so if y'all want to get down with that, hit me up and we can go ahead and make something happen there. And, shout out also to somebody I hope to be working with in the future. Hip-hop artist, local artist, you know, Trish Barnes. I've been talking to her for a little while, you know, just, you know, busting it up on a few things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not necessarily music, but just things in general, you know, current events, I guess you could say. You know, I've listened to her music for some years now. And that's just something I wanted to do. You know, I guess you could say one of my bucket lists. You know, if she's one of the artists, I want to check off the list and get her on. And that's about it. But what I want to talk about here on the show today, a few things that came up on the internet that people have been talking about, and that's the Birdman situation. Everywhere I go now, and I'm sure people can relate to this, I'm sure either you did it or you know somebody that did do it. We're using the phrase, you know, I see it everywhere. I even went to the doctor's office, and they had a note on the wall. You know how sometimes they tell you, you know, take your medicine, always get your blood check or something like that, your blood work check or something like that. I forgot how they phrase it, but they put some respect on your medical records or something like that, you know. So everybody's kind of using it in something. I'm sure a T-shirt will come out.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll have that as well. But this, I want to talk to you about that as far as, like, did you hear the video first?
Him doing it? With the, I watched
the radio show.
I watched the whole interview on it.
Well, what did you think about him coming up there like that?
I mean, you got to remember, during his reign in the game, he was highly respected.
Right.
You know what I mean? So for somebody to turn around and if it happened to Puff, you know what I mean, what would you say? If it happened to 50, you know, what would you say?
Well,
anybody out there type of nature, you know what I mean? Like, I think he had a legitimate beef.
Well, I think he had a legitimate beef. The allegations aren't true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, for instance, the big comment, I think it probably messed with him more so than anything, is the fact that he's a homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he was, you know, the pictures they got with him supposedly kissing Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
The picture shoes.
Exactly.
There's a video, I don't know if you saw this video, and I don't remember who the rapper was. It was a young boy, though. And he was saying that Baby fucked him up the ass for a record deal. Now, I don't know because I don't remember who the rapper's name was. I don't know if he's actually signed with them or not. If it was just a spoof type thing or whatever, but I know he said it. He said, yeah, because he was saying something. Yeah, I admit it. Yeah, he fucked up the ass and blah, blah, blah. But I got the deal. I got the money. So, you know, something like that. You know, and then, of course, you got people like Young Thug. You know, he's just as fruity as he want to be.
Yeah, well, that's
but that
like,
could just be him. It ain't got nothing to do with Baby.
Yeah, that's like the boy with all the tattoos on his face who's talking about screwing different artists.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I forgot his name. Yeah, I know you're talking about, though.
So
he eat ass and all.
Yeah, yeah,
I eat that nigga ass.
Yeah, so you know,
right?
That's a little much. I don't know. I think only way to I'm gonna have to play that interview. You know what I mean? Like, we'll have to upload that and listen to it again,
right?
And then get a judgment on it again, a refreshing mind. But
right,
I don't really want to speak on it yet. Because word for word, I can't remember everything that he said. So.
Well, I only saw that small clip of it. I didn't see a whole interview. I didn't even know it was a whole interview. Because the way it looked, it's like he came up there, cussed him out, and left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if he came back and then he did anything. Because I didn't see anything like that. But the funny thing about it was, and I was just watching it again today, was they had a video on there where it kind of they were talking to the boy from I can't even think of his name now. But anyway, they were talking about how the Breakfast Club in itself, they kind of they don't know if they're getting set up or they're setting themselves up for somebody to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'd be like sparking shit, you know, with the wrong people.
Yeah.
You know, like I saw one interview with the bull from Onyx.
Hmm.
It was the first row.
Yeah.
And Fredro was about to get into Charlamagne's ass on the show. You know,
everybody does.
Well, I mean, they sometimes they make comments. I mean, I've seen like a little Mo cry one time on there because they said something to her or whatever, and she was upset. She wasn't crying because she was sad. She was crying because she was upset, and she was going to hurt somebody. And I guess crying was the other option other than beating somebody's ass. But like with Fredro's John, and I don't remember what he said exactly. I know what Fredro said to him. He said something about him running from the guy who's about to whip his ass out in front of the radio station.
Uh-huh.
You know, Charlamagne. Uh-huh. And you know, Charlamagne said to him, "What would you do in a situation like that?" And he said, and he was like, "I wouldn't have ran. I just said, you in front of my radio station. You know what I'm saying? It's my spot. Yeah, I'd have fought you. You know it was 5-1 or something like that, you know." And then, Fredro was getting heated up at the time where it looked like, you know, if Charlamagne would have said one too many words, he might have just jumped up on him, you know, at that point, you know. And I saw another radio show. It wasn't Breakfast Club. It was another one where dude from the Lox did kind of the same thing. He walked into a radio show and they said something to him and he kind of blew the hell up and just walked out. They're kind of like a baby type thing, you know. So that's another subject. Yeah, I want to get on.
Yeah. So I know both of these.
The other subject we're talking about here was the African Bambaataa thing. If you don't know about that, he's alleged. I say alleged because he hasn't been convicted of anything yet.
Exactly.
But alleged. I'm going to say a child molester, but he, because some of them wasn't really necessarily, well, I guess they were. They were teenagers, if anything. I know one guy said he was like 13 or 14.
Yeah, when he said that happened.
Yeah. So I guess you call him a child molester. Yeah, exactly.
Well, before we even get into that one, I want to hear this Birdman interview.
Okay.
It's only 2.5 minutes. Let's see what, you know.
All right.
You're watching The Breakfast Club.
Y'all ready? Yes, sir. I want to start this shit off straight, telling all three of y'all, stop playing with my name. Just go on there, let's go. Stop playing with my fucking name.
Let's do it on camera.
Stop playing with my name.
Let's go right on there.
Nigga, when my name come up, respect it.
Let's go.
Stop playing with my fucking name. All three of y'all, stop playing with my name. I ain't gonna say it no more.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
He done cursed us out. Tell him, get it off your chest, Birdman.
Stand it already. I ain't got to talk no more.
Because I don't understand the angle. Like what?
Stand it already.
So why come here?
I did it already. I'm here. So what's happening?
I mean, it's all good, but I'm saying
here.
Why?
And I'm here. What's happening?
I'm all good, but I'm saying why come here,
man.
Just
look,
to
I'm
curse
here.
Us
what's
up?
What's happening, man? I wanted to see you. I wanted to talk to you on your man and your face.
Absolutely.
You understand me? I knew a few places you was at. I could have pulled up, but I don't think that was gangster. I wanted to come look in your face like a man and tell you how I feel.
Okay.
You understand me? Straight up like a man.
So
no
what's
shit,
the issue?
No sugar. Ain't no issue. If it was an issue, you'll feel me. I just come to let y'all know, stop, put some respect on my name. You understand me? When y'all saying my name, put some respect on it.
Did you pull up on Ross that way or Trick Daddy?
Man, I'm pulling up on you, nigga.
Yeah, but I'm the radio guy. Why pull up on the radio guy? Don't act tough with the radio guy.
I hate my nigga. Y'all finished or y'all done? I ain't got no more talking.
That's right. See you later, nigga. Yeah?
Hey, that's my line.
Grand opening, grand closing.
All right, well, there you have it.
Nah, we good. You know,
there you have
man,
it.
Man, what about on my notes?
We good. That's it. Quickest
man.
Breakfast Club interview
now
ever.
That. Well, that's The Breakfast Club.
Good
morning.
Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Every weekday morning. Tune in.
Are y'all finished? Y'all done?
Y'all finished? Y'all done? Yeah. And remember, it's respect. With a K at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, yeah, that was wild. When I saw that, you know, I was like, oh, okay, all right, you know. You know, nobody get shot up in there.
Now, what did they exactly say that you said that sparked him?
I don't know. That's the thing. I never saw the whole thing. And I'm only assuming because, you know, for years I've been hearing, you know, the gay references, you know. And then, of course, you got the Lil Wayne split. And Lil Wayne feels that, you know, they messing with the money. And so he ain't no longer with them anymore and all that, which I heard an interview today where he's saying that they're still putting out music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're still doing things together. You know, Drake and Nicki Minaj thing is still going under Cash Money and all that. So it's the same shit. But and that may be the only things that they've been talking about. But he's feeling disrespected about it. You know, and you got, you know, 50 Cent, Rick Ross, all them kind of and others chiming in on it. You know, it's probably just getting to him because his people are probably getting to him. You know, he's probably sitting back and people saying, "Yo, you heard this? You heard that?" You know, he getting tired of people saying that shit. You know, so that's probably why he went off about it.
Oh, okay, because you know? I never personally got, you know, what his beef was.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's what it is. I'm sure that's part of it anyway. That's not the whole thing. I'm sure that's part of it.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, I know personally if I was doing it, and just the gay references would be enough for me. Hmm. You know, if people say I'm gay and all that type of shit, you know, I have a problem with that. Yeah, so, you know, especially if you're putting pictures together and it look like I'm doing something that I'm not, you know, that'd have been an issue.
Well,
because to me, there's a lot of things you can say about a person.
Uh-huh.
But there's two things I think would be the worst thing you could say about a person. And that's one being gay, not me number one, but one being gay and two being a pedophile.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Those like, to me, and of course, the pedophile can go kind of hand in hand with the gay, because of course you could be a gay pedophile, you know, because believe it or not, and I watched this from SVU. Some pedophiles only like girls, and some pedophiles only like little boys.
Mm.
Some even like both, you know, even though the both is kind of a rarity. They usually choose one or the other.
Mm.
But other than that, that's it. You know, I watch SVU all the time. So I watched,
who was it? Lord Jamar from, you know, Paul Shucker, Get Beat Down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dot X and Lord Jamar.
Yeah. Why can't I think of the name of that group now?
Right?
I was just about to say X Clan. I know that ain't it.
No, because you're thinking of Dot X.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Brand Nubian,
yeah. Wow.
I watched his interview, and his interview made a lot of sense as far as him speaking on the fact of being bottom.
Mm.
Because his thing was, you know, it ain't the fact you can't prove what Bam Bada did yourself, but it was the fact of what Bam Bada said, the one boy who's claiming what he done.
Right.
Lord Jamar was like, I was in the room with both of y'all before. He said, "What was intern at the studio? We was all in." He was like, "Everybody know the boy."
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was like, "So for you to say," he said, "whether or not you did anything to any of these people," he said, "I can't speak on that." He said, "But when you say you don't know a specific individual, then that's something different." He
right.
was like, "Because I know you know him."
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. he says, so that right there is a lie.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean? So that's the only part that gets me what the whole situation is.
Hey.
Because, you know.
I saw your pictures look very nice.
Speaking
thank
on.
You.
Come on, man. Radio. But I mean, even with that, I would have to pull that up. But we got when Bam Bada actually what he's saying.
Oh, okay.
You know, we want to play that real quick and hear what he's actually.
Yeah, that's it. I'll be interested in that for sure.
Definitely hurting, and it was definitely crazy to hear this now when I was doing so much other work in the community at the time.
A Fox 5 exclusive, one of hip-hop's founding fathers speaking out for the first time on television
about shocking child abuse allegations. And the list of accusers is growing, and they all tell similar stories.
Afrika Bambaataa being accused of sexually abusing several underage boys decades ago. Lisa Evers sat down with him for an exclusive TV interview to answer the allegations. She joins us now, Lisa.
Well, Stephen Derry, Afrika Bambaataa brought peace to violent city streets, but now he is accused of a crime that is tough to forgive, molesting boys. He sat down with me for this exclusive interview, and no questions were off limits.
Have you ever abused any underage boy?
I never abused nobody. You know, it just sounds crazy to people to say that, here, you abused me. You know, my thing is, you know all my people back then. You know the hundreds of people that been around me. You know, if something like that happened, why you never want to? None of them.
Party people, don't get funky.
It also sounded crazy to many fans of his 1980s hit song, Planet Rock, considered one of the all-time greatest in hip-hop. Since then, as the founder of the hip-hop cultural organization Zulu Nation, he's been a visiting professor at Cornell and invited to speak around the world. He told me the accusations came as a shock.
What is the motivation?
Yeah, what is the motivation? What is the agenda?
Do you think there is an agenda there?
It's hard to say. You know, you don't know what many of these people are thinking, what is behind it. Some parts I've seen, like, it could be shakeups, you know, certain things people might have wanted.
Bambaataa's chief accuser, Ronald Savage, is now 50 years old. He claims in 1980, when he was 15 and under the age of consent, playing hooky led to his first sexual experience with the hip-hop pioneer, and was followed by at least four other abuse incidents.
I didn't have nowhere to go, so I had his number, and I called him, and he paid for the cab for me to go to his house.
Savage claims through therapy, he came to understand he was abused and became aware of other alleged victims.
I couldn't believe it. I was confused. I was a little nervous, you know, and I was just wondering, like, the other guy coming into the room and, like, what was they going to do to me?
I asked Bambaataa what he would say to Savage.
The brother knows the people who he came around in my group with and know that he wasn't in my presence unless among those people, and he needs to go back and speak to those people who was part of our organization and deal with them and stop all this type of craziness that they've been trying to put by attacking me.
And you never touched him inappropriately?
I ain't touched this brother whatsoever.
The allegations have set off a social media firestorm and ignited feverish debate. Since the alleged incidents happened so long ago, no criminal charges can be brought. And there have been no settlements or payouts, says Bambaataa attorney Charles Tucker Jr.
Have there been any criminal charges filed against Afrika Bambaataa at all?
Absolutely not. Not today, not yesterday, not the day before yesterday, not ever.
The question now is, what happens next? Can we ever find out the truth of what really occurred? And are there other victims out there who have yet to come forward? Or is this a case that will only be tried in the court of public opinion? Here's what both sides have to say. In our exclusive interview, Afrika Bambaataa emphatically maintained he is not a sexual abuser.
Do you feel now you are among that group of people falsely accused?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, there's always been things in our community where you falsely accuse people, or people have sit in the prisons, you know, political prisoners and groups like that, that they wait to 10, 15, 20, even 30 or 40 years before they find out that this person was railroaded.
But Ronald Savage believes there are more victims out there and that the statute of limitations should be eliminated.
No one can tell anyone when they're ready to let stuff out. And especially if you haven't went through what I went through and other people went through. It's like, how dare you?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey. She asked a good question, though. What's the agenda? You know, is it a money thing? Is it, I mean, because I would think if you wanted to go after money, or a certain amount of fame, you'll go out to somebody bigger than Afrika Bambaataa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, maybe that's the only person he could have went through, because maybe that's the only ones he really actually knew. But, I don't know his motivation.
Yeah, see,
if it's true or not.
That's, and see, I don't want to, you know, and that's been my whole issue because now they on this whole, there's one boy that I downloaded who had an interview with KRS-One.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, of course, with Chris, you know, the whole movement that he's behind, you know, Stop the Violence movement and everything else, you know,
right.
They came to him to question him about Bambaataa. And he pretty much said, I don't give a fuck about what y'all think about Afrika Bambaataa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now this became a big uproar because now they're saying, how could KRS-One, who's been behind so much of the Stop the Violence movement and things like that, how could he defend a pedophile and, you know, turn it back on KRS-One
right.
now? Because, but I'm in the same agreement to what KRS-One is. Because I mean it's like the same thing that they're doing to Bill Cosby,
right?
Right? You know, y'all wait
30-40 years, we
yeah.
think of them, right?
You know what I mean? And like I said, if it happened, it's fucked up. But I just think that there's an agenda behind things, and then a lot of people are falling in line. Now, with the people that's closest to being bothered, they probably know. You
Please.
Know what I mean?
Right.
But you know, but my case is. The best way to destroy hip hop or the culture of hip hop is to destroy the people who created it.
Because
now the hip hop culture is being looked down on, you know, as, you know what I mean? Like, this is the perfect time to come out and say some shit like that because of what all these rappers that we have nowadays, what they portray.
Right, right.
And how they look and how they dress and, you know, and all this, the Young Thug and, you know, and all that type of shit like that. They promote a bunch of that homosexuality shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, let's, we know if we can't chop you off, you know what I mean, from the head, then we'll start from your legs. We'll
right.
start from your feet.
Mm.
We're going to knock you down from where you started from. You know what I mean? So then this way, we're definitely destroying your culture because now your culture is being looked at as your forefathers of the culture. It's been a pedophile.
Right.
You know, it's like to say if you, you know, with all the Catholic priests that you know that been molested, that you know, 100%, you know. Now, we can't say 100% because we ain't there. But, you know, for the Catholic Church to hide the fact of their priests molesting boys for years. You know what I mean? The only leg you got to stand on is to go, well, Pope ain't do it.
Right,
and
right.
he ain't condoning it.
Right.
But what if that now all of a sudden you find out the Pope was molesting kids?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that would truly destroy the whole Catholic religion.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because we could go and go, you know what? Yeah, we know this. Because now they're accepting these gay, you know, preachers and shit like that. And their religions and stuff like that, you can go, but it's not all of them. The same way you go, you got these gay rappers and shit like that, but then you go, but it's not all of them. But, you know, if you compare the two and they go, but the Pope is molesting boys, then you go, damn, this religion is fucked.
Right, right, that'd be all of them.
Right?
right
that'd
right.
be all of them. So the best right. way to turn around and destroy the hip-hop culture is to go, one of the guys who created your hip hop culture has been molesting boys.
Right.
So that's what I look at it as.
Right.
That's how you are going to try to destroy this culture.
So do you think they'll try to bring somebody else in it too? Like to say somebody else was like that as well?
I don't think.
Like hit things, I come back and say KRS-One did it?
No, because you know for a fact of, you know, the character that KRS-One has always put itself out to be. But as here you go. What if out the blue you heard that George Clinton from P-Funk was having orgies and screwing men too? You would go, wow, well that would make sense, being as though they'd have been on stage with diapers, and, you know.
Right.
But you know, nobody says nothing about what, you know. Look at the fact of Dr. Dre and DJ Yella wearing, you know what I mean, lace gloves
and
lipstick and shit
right,
like
right.
that. You know what I mean? So they do this sporadically to, you know, to destroy, You know what I mean? Not only just the hip hop culture, but I think for what Bambada stood for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm on the same factor KRS-One on, you know what? For what he did for our hip hop culture, you can't never take that shit away from him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, what he done in his personal life, I have, you know, I can't speak on it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can go only go by what the history books show.
Right.
And from what, mm-hmm. from rap music day one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, unless some other evidence comes out to say something, you really can't say much about it.
But, you know, now you're going to have, like, there's another person that surfaced.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, I figured a few people come out because it's like the Bill Cosby thing.
Now all of a sudden everybody's coming out, and you know you getting all this other bullshit. Now everybody coming out. You know what I mean? But that's and then even then with the Bill Cosby situation was, you know, look at who created or who was the brains behind Bill Cosby was Quincy Jones.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, all his theme songs. You know, shit, the only real album, musical album that Bill Cosby had out was him and Quincy Jones.
Hmm.
The Hick of Blur album.
Right,
you know what I mean? That was Quincy Jones.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? The brains behind, here you go. And funny enough, go back and study everybody that's got their start. You know they were almost probably... It wouldn't have been an Oprah Winfrey show without Quincy Jones.
No, that ain't no.
Yep. Dude, go back and study that. If you look at the fact of from Michael Jackson on, you know what I mean? You got for so long, you kill Mike, you kill Whitney, you kill Prince,
right?
You know, and things of that nature. And you turn around and now you're killing Bill Cosby without... Actually, you know,
well, you're not
taking
physically
a drug,
killed. Right? You're not physically
but you're breaking it down, you know?
That's all right.
And mentally,
right? No,
you know what I mean, they're mentally killing him, you know
right.
what I mean. And who else to know Quincy almost better than anybody else but Bill Cosby and Michael Jackson, the two closest people that was to him,
right?
You know what I mean. So you destroy these people at the point in their, you know, in their career where certain things like that happen, and I think. You know, this is just an example, another one of them examples. And like I said, if for all these people who always said that they knew, you know, there's an interview I'm going to download of Bambada's bodyguard, where the bodyguard said that, yeah, he was gay. But wait a minute, if you knew this shit, you know, what's the difference between... You and Sandusky.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the temple coaches who knew that this dude was,
molesting the players,
and they never said nothing. Well, they was wrong.
Right.
They, you know.
So you should be wrong, too.
You should be wrong, too. Mm-hmm. If this shit is happening, you've seen it, and you never really said anything or did anything about it, or you got guys who said, yeah, we walked in the room and seen this shit. But y'all motherfuckers are coming out now that this boy said his therapist finally
got it out. Yeah, right.
Come on, now you gonna tell me this grown ass man now just realizing that he was butt fucked by a dude?
He's wondering what that was. Huh?
You know, it's fucked up.
I wonder why. I just don't. Actually, it was an episode on FBU about that, but it was a little twist to it. It was a boy. That claimed his father molested him. And come to find out, his therapist put that thought in his head and made him think that it actually happened. And it really didn't happen.
Wow.
You know, and he found out later on, of course, the father got shot before they actually came to the conclusion that he didn't do it, that the therapist was the one that caused the kid to think about it.
Wow.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I mean, you know, it's something. It's something. Because I would think something like that, being the fact that he said that he had to go to a therapist to get the idea that he was being molested.
Yeah.
Like, how did you not know that you were molested?
Exactly.
You didn't know you was having sex? You know, were you retarded or something? You called it the jumping down exercise or something? Like, what the fuck?
You know, and then you got, you know, Professor Griff and people like that. you know, speaking out on right. shit, and I'm like, come on, now, y'all motherfuckers, you know, Griff, you are part of, or you know, you're deeply part of this.
Well, guys like him, they're gonna speak on just to get the ratings and stuff for their pages and stuff. I mean, I knew Griff would come out with something when that came out, you know, because it's just what he does now. So
now, like I said, only person I can, you know, say, okay, wow, you know, some shit like that too is Lord Jamar, and that's because, like he said, you know, I sat in the room with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So don't tell me, you know, that you don't know this person. And I, you know, I think that's the only fucked up part with me with the whole thing is if he really said that, because I haven't seen an interview where Ben Bada said he didn't know the boy. He said, you know.
So you said he was an intern or something, right?
Yeah, well, that's what I got from what Lord Jamar was saying.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm going to try to make sure we upload that interview so we can listen to that on the air.
Okay.
So people can see what's going on with that. But, you know, maybe we'll throw some music on real quick, let people marinate on it.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean? And then try to come back to that. But, you know, just talk of what's going on. This is the Mike and the This One Show. You know what I mean? And we're giving you that. We're giving you that shit.
Yeah, that's right. Hip-hop news all day.
Right?
There you go.
Let's go to some Pusha T and Beanie. Two of the greatest. Two of them, anyway.
Okay.
Of a bullet for all y'all, now crawl form. My sophomore jinx is more me, but only for my mother, she'll use them as couch covers. You niggas cheapin' in my all-star weekends. If y'all can't swim in the deep end, then watch, nigga.
Woo!
80,000 on this watch, nigga. Yeah, and okay. I ain't never had to watch, nigga. Rich or wealthy, pick your poison. I think I paid for one too many abortions. Another Celine, it's like a routine. It's like a Ferris wheel of waist trainers and seven jeans. Her new body's in my new body. Make her in the hourglass, that's my new hobby. Rich nigga shit, how I blew my first million. Luckily with something in the ceiling, keep filling, yeah. Talk numbers, but never talk them to me, though. When you the link to what fits in a keyhole. The realest nigga, the marathon on the Rico. The last cocaine superhero. I got the cape on to cover kilos. The villain wins the evolution of Nino. Goddamn, Batman, holy Toledo. Nah, you ain't talking to me, though. The reporter, the snort. King's whole court. Lawyers get bought. Palms get greased when them cases get fought. No felony, what the fuck is you telling me? Reduced to simple assault. It cost to keep it hush-hush. It was just us. Ended up selling my Batmobile. The crash don't kill. It's how you survived it. Rebound on niggas, I nine-lived it. Couldn't miss a Super Bowl or a Cancun. Bitches ain't respecting niggas, not in full bloom. So the neck is full moon. I'm living a lie, she lived for this life. And loving a liar pump. Loving the rush, I'm living the wire. Drugs in this rap, it's really empire. Rich nigga shit. How I lost my second million. Luckily with something in the ceiling, keep dealing, yeah. Talk numbers, but never talk them to me, though. When you the link to what fits in a keyhole. The realest nigga, the marathon on the Rico. The last cocaine superhero. I got the cape on to cover kilos. The villain wins the evolution of Nino. Goddamn, Batman, holy Toledo. Nah, you ain't talking to me, though.
10 toes deep in the trap, nigga, I'm good here. Feeling like Tony reading the words on a good year. Big said only the feds I should fear. So no threat be on your step with the whole hood dead. Yeah, shoot up shit, then we blow the scene. Kerosene in a 20-ounce, holy spring. Nothing to lose attitude, like Ron from Arizona. It's homicide when I slide up on ya. Reporting live from the project benches. Hella cane, dope and cellophane, dirty syringes. Heron zombies, street walking on 3-week been clientele. Look like the Thriller bin, 3D lens, COD. Niggas never had to front me Jones. I'm weighing bricks on a scale, they put the lunch meat on. I'm Nino Brown in the projects. Yes, Curtis Jackson in his Pyrex. Richard Dodd trying is my mindset. To spend it all till I'm swallowing dirt. Cause I ain't never see a Brinks truck follow a hearse. I ain't never see a dead man taking a stand. I ain't never see a nigga swallow a bullet and let it talk about it. About that bread, I drop a coffin about it. You watch me go through hell, now watch me walk about it. Nigga, yeah. Shit, that's how I lost 3 million. Luckily, it was something in the ceiling. Keep dealing, keep dealing.
Are
these
acting?
Are these
acting?
I don't think you're that good of a damn actor.
You don't think you're that good?
Nah.
Yeah, if you pulled off, I mean, that's like an Oscar to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, real quick, before we even go into that discussion, I want to play this Lord Jamar interview and see what you think.
All right.
Accidental.org is more just a lifestyle. I'll get straight to it. Grandfather of hip-hop, godfather of hip-hop, African Bambaataa. These sex allegations been going on about him with underage boys. You know, I don't know, you know, allegedly. I don't know exactly if it happened then. I don't know if it's happening now. I don't know if he's gay. I don't know if he was gay then. I don't know what's going on. But if there is a crime, you know, he should definitely be acknowledged and step to for that. For whatever reason, things should be taken into course. They're saying how come things are happening after 30 years, why now? But I want to know how our legendary rappers feel about that, because I was disturbed by it. I think I was disturbed more that, you know, there was a crime committed rather than, in addition to whatever he's into. I mean, that wasn't the great news. But, you know, I want to hear. You know, I actually heard Lord Jamar talk about this on the Star Show. Shout out to Shot 97. Shot, right? And, I know a lot of y'all probably feel that the audio wasn't good enough because he was talking on the telephone, but you're going to find out what he feels today, because we have an update. Because I think that he actually was on the Ed Lover Show, and he talked about basically his 3 minutes of fame. Of they felt that it was cut up and edited, but what does Lord Jamar feel about African Bambaataa's allegations?
The main prefix, that comes to mind when I think about this whole, all these allegations and everything surrounding this, is I feel dissed, meaning I feel disturbed. I feel disheartened. You know, many people, many members of Zulu Nation are left feeling disillusioned about their involvement in an organization that may or may not have a pederast as its leader. You know, and again, a pederast is a man who deals with underage boys, you know. And we're going to all keep saying allegedly because, you know, I wasn't there, you know what I mean? But again, I must say that I know Ronald Savage, okay? I know B. Stinger from the studio back in the days, okay? Not that I've seen him, I haven't seen him in years, but I know him from back in the days, you know. And
just a second. Oh, okay.
I can also say, just with truth being my sword, that, you know, I heard the brother Bambaataa say that he doesn't know Ronald Savage, that he's never met him, and that's not true. Like, I've been in the same room with these guys before on multiple occasions. Like, there's no way that
he doesn't know him.
Just on a coming to the studio level. Back in the days, Allenton Avenue, even on Westchester Avenue and all of that, in the Bronx when Jazzy J had a studio over there, but then he moved it to Allenton Avenue in the Bronx. Beastinger was like the intern. He was like the do boy. He would, go to the store, book, answer the phones, clean up, all that type of shit. Like, you know what I mean? So there's no way, like, I know for a fact.
He knows him.
You know what I mean? Nah, and I'm just going to say, I know that to not be true. You know what I mean? I don't know the rest of it. You know what I mean? But why would you say that, brother? You know what I mean? Like, come, we got to be 100% truthful. Like, yeah, I know that guy, but come on, he's bugging out. He's wild. You know what I mean? But to you to say that you don't know this brother at all, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So, yes, I feel dismayed. I feel, this is also a distraction to hip hop. Because you see, you got a lot of these new age people that are almost happy. They're going to look past the pederasty and just go into the homosexuality part of it. You see, and they're going to want to link homosexuality with hip hop and say, see? You've been promoting a culture all this time that was very homophobic, but look, the godfather of hip-hop is gay, allegedly. So that's what we can't do. We can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. If these allegations prove to be true, so what? Like, it has nothing to do with hip-hop. That has to do with this man. And justice is one's reward or penalty. And, you get rewarded for the good things you do, and you get penalized for the bad things you do. He's been rewarded handsomely for his role in hip-hop, His legacy as what he's been looked at as far as the Godfather, that's a handsome reward. But now, what will be your penalty if this proves to be true? Because if this does prove to be true, well, then this is horrible. This is horrible. This is some real, this is on the level of some Catholic Church type of shit. Where an elder figure, not just an elder, but an authority figure, just abuses his power over a young boy. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. It's crazy. So, I'm disheartened to hear these things. I'm...
That was pretty much the gist of it. Now, also, they do have, I think, people from the Zulu Nation who say that they were around and, always. This one I ain't never heard.
This he was around what? Him doing missing around?
I guess. I don't know. This is supposed to be Zulu Nation Speaks. So, I want to see what they had to say about this real quick.
Good evening. Welcome to the Star Chamber. Tonight I have another guest, one of the architects, pioneers, legends of the Zulu Nation. It gets no more authentic than this person right here. I'm going to let him spit his resume to you. He goes by the name of Grandmaster T.C. Islam. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm histopatastic, man, and just blessed, man.
All right, so now, how old were you when you first joined Zulu Nation, or were you, just raised up in it and just naturally...
I've been with Zulu Nation since I was like 14 years old, man.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I made my first records around 15 years old, 16 years old. So I literally grew up in the Zulu Nation. If you weren't in the Zulu Nation or hip-hop in the tri-state before 1994, I really didn't know you.
Right, okay, okay.
So that's how I grew up in the inside of the family. And you know, and love my family. You know, I love the Universal Zulu Nation.
Of course, of course.
And me as you know, as someone growing up, you know, indirectly was with Bambaataa and always around him, and I was the international spokesman and helped put a lot of things that we have in the Zulu Nation today in place. I have never, ever, ever, ever seen any type of pedophilia or any type of child abuse or anything from Bambaataa towards me or towards anyone around me. So I was, you know, these allegations are allegations. And, you know, for years and years, you know, we've been hearing in the street, you know, for years, there ain't nothing new that Bambaataa's gay. But, you know, to each his own, that's his business.
Okay.
But, you know, I've never seen it, you know, but, you know, when Hassan Campbell, you know, came out and
Poppy started calling.
Yes, when Poppy came out and, you know, the cats in the Zulu Nation, a Shep, you know, from the Black Panthers, started calling him a decent informant. I had to really make a decision myself to stand up for this man, because this man grew up right under us, and he's very close to me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the reason why he lives in Connecticut years ago. I brought him there, so I had to stand up, you know, and I'm going to stand up. You know, Right now, as of today, I resigned the other day, and since my resignation from the Universal Zulu Nation, up to this day, I received 25 death threats.
Okay, hang on a second. So now, you say you stepped down after over 25, 30 years, yes?
Well, I had to step down. I had resigned for the fact that I have my own movement, which is the Hip Step Movement. And I had to think of them first. And by making this decision, to be honest about it, it was the reason why I resigned is because I've got tired of the Afrika Bambaataa fan club members inside the Universal Zulu Nation causing a lot of hindrance and really hate stepping on everything I've been doing for years, man. So, you know, the Universal Zulu Nation, I just want to tell the public, everyone that's listening right now, the Universal Zulu Nation is entirely separate from Bambaataa's life. And this is what I mean by the fan club,
the fan club. Got you. But now hang on a second. I just want to go back for a second. You know Poppy, yes?
Very well.
Okay. Is Poppy a liar?
Poppy, what he's saying, he's not lying.
Okay. Okay.
Hang on.
Poppy is claiming Afrika Bambaataa molested him for a number of years.
I don't know about that right there. I know for a fact that there was a meeting that happened, and he was present there with all everyone he said that was there, and that meeting happened. So if that meeting happened, that means that, you know, that had to happen. But as far as me knowing...
Well, I don't want to put you in a position of guessing or doing hypotheticals,
no.
But I just want to go back. You say Poppy's not a liar, correct? You raised him since he was young.
Yeah. He's been around me since he was young.
Okay.
I never knew any of that was happening until he brought it out, and I was like, whoa, wow.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I just want, you know, like, I stand with Afrika Bambaataa, you know, say whether he's right or wrong. He's the most compassionate man you can meet, and I just basically stand on truth. And, you know, when I was asked to damage control this and to take care of this, you know, and I know that he's going to do the right thing. It's going to be the right thing to do. You know what I mean?
Okay, so if he's a pedophile, and I say if, I don't know.
I can't support that.
Okay.
You know, but I do support him standing on truth, whether these accusations are false or whether they're true. But I cannot support any type of pedophileness, whether it's from Afrika Bambaataa or whether it's even from my own family member or from anybody. I don't stand on that.
Okay.
And that's what it is.
All right, so now you have traveled the world with the Zulu Nation, the world.
I've traveled the world with Bambaataa.
Yeah,
I really don't like too many... Not too many people in the Zulu Nation like me. I guess that's why I'm getting death threats.
I got you. Now, I just want to say, you guys have traveled the world. Bambaataa has spoken to the babies from here to, you know, Zimbabwe, to East Asia, every place. Why can't he address his babies by way of some type of, you know, just videotape or something? Why does it have to be through a lawyer? Why does he now have to, you know, close his doors
on the babies that he raised? Why can't he stand up and give us something, you know, that's more substantial, or that we can say, hey, you know what, okay, the allegations, he's going to fight them. Why is it so secretive now?
Well, you know what? I wouldn't say it's secretive. I'll just put it in this type of analogy. There's a time and place in the
secret. TC, it's secretive. Come on, man. Let's not play the analogy game, with all due respect. It's secretive. Hang on. There was a meeting scheduled at Mosque number 7 last Thursday, 2 p.m., correct?
I have no knowledge of that meeting. Like I said,
I have knowledge.
The inner circle. Okay, if you have knowledge of that,
I
don't have knowledge of that, because one, like I said, a lot of the cats around Bam, they hate steppers, man. You know what I'm saying? That like they be hating on TC. So, you know, I'm also doing this interview because I'm also seeking the truth and researching for the truth for my own self.
Okay.
Because if anybody's devastated, if anyone's hurt, you know, Big Brother Curtis Blow had to call me yesterday so we could pray. I'm really devastated by this, and I'm really hurt. Disappointed, and no matter what the outcome comes out, the almighty universal Zulu Nation will stand strong and always will keep moving forward. And I'm going to make sure that through my hip step movement, that these beautiful people and beautiful babies that are hurt will step forward. But we can say, when you're going to come out and do this, yo, you need to do this right now. The only one who can do that is Almighty God.
Now here's the thing, if Bam Bada does stand up and speak, you know, on behalf of hip-hop, his babies, Zulu Nation, if you will, I think that it will put a lot of different people and things to ease. But there are people that have contacted me behind the scenes, other people, I haven't even released those particular, you know, those particular interviews yet.
Right.
There's recent audio tapes, which I heard with my own ears, of the Zulu Nation offering Ronald Savage money to let this, you know, die down or go away, or even for him to recant his story. Do you have knowledge of that, sir?
I have knowledge of that. Yes, I have knowledge of that, sir.
Okay. Why would Zulu Nation make an offer of up to $50,000?
Let me correct you. That's not the Zulu Nation. That's Africa Bambaataa and his people making that right there. Zulu Nation has not made any offers, and this is the reason why I'm doing this interview, to actually separate and let people know the Zulu Nation has had no interaction with that. And this is what I mean by the Africa Bambaataa fan club inside our Zulu Nation that has such an influence. Bambaataa hasn't been the leader of the Zulu Nation since 1994.
Really?
We've been telling people this for, yes, indeed. We've been telling the world this for many, many years, but yet still the Africa Bambaataa fan club and all the people out there has been basically accepting him as a leader because they're fans.
Okay.
And me and other people are saying, yo, we're the Universal Zulu Nation. That has nothing to do with us. That's his business.
Okay.
He doesn't have to speak for hip-hop. Hip-hop speaks for itself.
Okay, hang on. Okay, so now a $50,000 offer was made to Ronald Savage, yes, to make these allegations go away, yes?
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
That's what I heard.
I heard the same thing.
Okay. Based upon the meeting that took place, according to Poppy, with Africa Bambaataa crying and apologizing for molesting Poppy, who's also known as Hassan Campbell, You know that other founding members were at that meeting, yes?
Yes.
Okay, and
that's what was told to me by someone that was at the meeting.
Okay, so with that inside information and those statements from your brothers, how do you feel now about possible pedophile activity with Africa Bambaataa?
To be honest, I've let those feelings go. Over the past couple of days, I've did my crying. I've did my boys in the hood trade. No way! I did all that. My main concern is not the affairs of Africa Bambaataa, but it's for the prevailing of my nation, the Universal Zulu Nation, and basically consoling and helping these people that are being devastated by this, where the Zulu Nation is all, I mean, we're 43 years old. So we grew up in this, man. So my concern as a leader, as a hip-stepper, I got to basically step these people up and bring them forward, man, the best way that I know how. And that's where I stand at with this. And whatever he does, whatever he says, that's on him. That has nothing to do with me. But
okay.
I have to, you know,
You said earlier, and when I spoke to you, you know, behind the scenes here on a few occasions. You are now hiding out, correct? From who are you hiding from? You say you had 25 death threats.
Yeah, man.
Who are you hiding from and why?
I'm hiding to just see there's certain people, man, that feel like they sympathizers or they got to hold Bambada down or, you know, protect Bambada. And at first, you know, Star, when I got these first four phone calls, I was like, man, this is bullshit, man, it's clowns. I call him Ed Henderson and I let, you know, other brothers and sisters know. And I let other people in hip hop know, like Paradise from X Clan, Grimmix of DXT, a few others, man, okay. You know. And after the first, they started getting real graphic, man. You know, like, it was like, you're gonna resign from the nation and turn your back on the father. Yo, you're a dead man walking. Mm. And, you know, I was ignoring it, man. I'm like, well, these fools things.
Get your hand out my pocket, huh?
Yeah, right. Huh? Exactly. So I'm going, okay, here we got Shep, you know, sending out this information. Yeah. And these guys were stuck in some Black Panther, Malcolm X bullshit. Then all of a sudden, after 11 calls, 13 calls, four that started to be frequent with a couple of extra people calling, going, yeah, can't wait to see you in the casket, man. You need to keep your, you shouldn't have resigned, man. You want to turn your back on the nation? I'm like, yo, you people don't even have a clue of what's going on. And you know what? Let me step back. So I'm just being safe, man. I'm in hiding until he makes this statement to the world.
Okay, so you said Bambada's going to release a statement somewhere around the 20th,
yes,
or something, you said?
Well, I was told by the other founder, Ahmed Henderson, that he will be releasing a statement between the 19th and the 21st, and okay. I'm just being safe and just hiding out until that happens, because these people are like really diehard devoted Bambada fans.
Right.
And he doesn't know that these people are attacking me or giving me death threats. I text him, but his phone is off.
Okay, so now I think we've pretty much concluded, unless you say otherwise, that Afrika Bambaataa was stabbed and went to Jacoby Hospital, something to do with some type of sex act gone wrong. Is that the truth?
The truth is this. That him getting stabbed is the truth.
Okay.
As far as me knowing of any sex act that went on, I don't know about that. But I know for a fact that when I showed up to the hospital, they said that he's basically in surgery for knife wound.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then it's like other circumstances that's arising around this here that, you know, I'm going, yo, this is some cover up shit.
I want to ask you one last question. And
yes, sir.
I know you are a man who has knowledge of self. I should say you are well-respected throughout the world. Can you be truthful and honest with us, those of us in hip-hop who have been influenced by Zulu Nation? Can you be honest with us and say that Afrika Bambaataa is or isn't gay? I mean, I'm not asking whether he touched children or not. Is Afrika Bambaataa gay?
Me, due to all the rumors and the connecting the dots, I personally, in my personal opinion, as Grandmaster T.C. Islam, the fourth son of Afrika Bambaataa, I'll basically assume that he is gay. I've never seen any type of gayness or any type of none of that around him. And I have tons of gay friends and transgender friends. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I've never seen any of that at all.
But is Afrika Bambaataa one of your gay friends? I'm not trying to humiliate the man.
I would consider Afrika Bambaataa one of my gay friends.
Okay. T.C., I thank you for your time, man, and I hope that we can talk again.
We will, Star.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You for having me on your show, brother.
Thank you, man.
And
yes,
also,
sir.
Star.
Yes, sir.
Also, I want to say this as well. Star is not a FBI or police informant trying to bring down the universe of Zulu Nation. And you heard that right from the mouth of Grandmaster T.C. Islam.
Thank
so
you,
guess
what,
Star? By me saying that, but Star, I guess I got 50 more death threats coming out that sentence,
right?
I think
you do. Thank you, man. Take care. Yes, sir. Thank you,
brother.
Yes, sir.
Wow, I found that pretty interesting. That whole interview I found interesting. He actually says that he believes that Bambaataa is gay. He has a bunch of gay friends and blah, blah, blah. Though he has never seen anything, he believes that he is. So my question to him would be, well, how do you know that? Why would you believe that he is if you've never seen it? Is he acting in a certain kind of way that makes you think he's a bit feminine? Because also you got to keep in mind, if he's an effeminate person, meaning that he has a sweet side, you could say. You know, he maybe walks a little funny, or he talks with a softer tone. Maybe he stands a certain way, or something like that. That wouldn't make him gay. Somebody asked me that a while ago about, you know, if I do something, like if I'm standing a certain way or something like that, does that make me gay? You know, or if I like to do something like as a guy saying I like to cook, I like to sew, I like fashion. Does that make me gay? And my response to that was, you're gay. You're officially gay, I'll say, when you have sex with the same sex. You know, if you had a gay thought, that wouldn't necessarily make you gay. That makes you have a gay thought. You know, if you thought, like if you was a female and said, man, I wonder what it would be like having sex with another female. Does that make her gay? No, because if she never acts on it, then she's not gay. She had a gay thought, you know. She had a gay thought in that. And I would think that probably happens more so than what happens with guys due to porn. Because when you watch porn, you see a lot of girl porn, threesomes and stuff like that. So a woman probably be more inclined to think that more so than a guy would with another guy. But that still wouldn't make you gay. So I would wonder why he would go on the record and say, I believe he's gay, based on nothing. At least he didn't state nothing. Like he said, I didn't see him do anything. So, you know, I didn't see him with no little boys, so you can't say he's a pedophile. You know, I didn't see him having sex with other guys, you know, kissing other guys. So, you know, how can you call him gay? You know, I mean, you can say I suspect he may be based on blah, 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 but you can't say that he is unless he told you or you saw him. You know, again, he said he had gay friends and transgender, blah, 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 which also I found funny because he's supposed to be Islam. Well, as far as I know, you're not supposed to be friends with homosexuals if you're a Muslim or if you're a Christian, for that matter. But, you know, hey, that's those are his sins he got to deal with. But I just find that odd. And then, of course, the probably the oddest thing of all is that if it did happen, let's just say hypothetically it did happen, it happened 40 years ago, and you didn't know that you were being molested at the time? Because he wasn't a 5-year-old. You know, he wasn't a 3-year-old when it happened. He was a teenager. Okay? He's a teenager. I don't think there's too many teenagers out there that can have sex and not know they're having sex. You know, they may not know what he was doing at the time, you know, as far as how to do it, but they knew they were having sex, you know, at that age. So, I mean, you know, I just find that odd that, okay, now after all these years and you go into therapy or whatever, you come out and say that. You know, about this man, you know. So, and then, of course, like one of the questions on the other clip was, what's the agenda? Is the agenda simply, I'm just trying to get this out because it happened to me? Am I looking for some money? Am I looking for some sort of fame? You know, because I suspect that this is going to come out with a few other artists. You know, it's going to come out with a few other artists. You know, not only is the pedophilia and the homosexual stuff is going to come out, but just general rape in general is going to come out. You know, women are going to come out and say, you know, I'm just throwing names out there. You know, Jay-Z raped me back in 2000. You know, Nas did something. You know, they'll just throw out Biggie did something. You know, I mean, it'll just be accusations coming out and people trying to get a payday. You know, I made a joke a while ago about the Bill Cosby thing. Like, you know, I heard so much about Bill Cosby, he was saying that, I was going to say Bill Cosby molested me. You know, I mean, just so I can get paid that. You know, I mean, why not? I mean, and I think Bill Cosby had like 40 or 50 people that came out. And see, that's what, I'm an odds guy. You know, what's the odds that a person can molest or rape 50 different people? 50 different people, blacks, whites, yellow, browns, all that. Because he has the whole collective as far as people saying that mess with him, that he messed with them. None of them came out? Now, I know there was, like, I think Janice Dickinson came out 10 years ago, I think it was, and she filed some sort of lawsuit and it went away or whatever. There's a couple of them that did it, but out of all those people, only one or two said something. And even when they said something, nobody came out then. But all of a sudden, they come out all at the same time. I just find that to be kind of strange, you know. Because my thing is, you know, and I'm just speaking on my own thing, if I was molested by a man or a woman, for that matter, well, if it was a woman, I never said anything anyway, unless she was ugly. But if I was molested by somebody, if I waited 40 years before I decided to say something, I wouldn't say something. I'd just leave it alone. You know, maybe I would have told my closest family, but I wouldn't have said anything. You know, am I going to the police? Am I trying to file charges? I mean, even though filing charges wouldn't work, because I believe statute of limitations is 10 years. You know, so 40 years, I mean, come on. You know, but yeah, that's wild. You know, but we're in a bad time in this world today. There's a lot of stuff coming out. I was we may play this video later, video clip later. If y'all familiar with boxing, a guy's name is Tyson Fury. I was listening to his YouTube video he put out. He actually put it out on Instagram first, and it got a lot of negative feedback on it. And what he was talking about, again, he's a heavyweight champion boxer. And what he talked about a few things, but one of the things he talked about was just how the world is. You know, in a nutshell, we're living in a world today where everything is that was good is now bad, and everything that was bad is now good. Now we can pretty much do whatever we want. You know, who cares? You know, and he touched on things about don't worry about it. There's no heaven, so you ain't got to worry about going to heaven, you know, because there isn't one. So just do what you want to do, you know. He's not saying this because he's agreeing with it. He's just talking about how people are feeling in the world. And what he was saying was that people soon, for instance, now, believe it or not, and you can Google this, it's actually in some states legal for someone to marry the dog, the pet. You can marry your pet. In some states in the United States of America. I'm not talking about Afghanistan or, you know, Zimbabwe or something like that. I'm talking about right here in the United States of America. There's some states where you can legally marry your pet. You know? And in case you didn't know, there's people in throughout the world who are having sex with animals. You know, you may hear country jokes where, you know, people are having sex with sheep. There was videos earlier. Well, I'll say last year, I saw videos circling around on Facebook where they were like, I believe they were East Indian guys. I'll just say Asian, for that matter. They weren't like Chinese or nothing. They would look like East Indian or something, maybe even Arab. But they were having sex with dogs. I mean, literally having sex with dogs. One, there was a group sex thing where it was like four or five little boys. They were like maybe... They were teenagers, you know, I would say anywhere between the ages of 13 and 17 or whatever. But they were surrounding a dog and messing with the dog. You know, what was the other stuff? Basically, that's what he was talking about. This is back in here right now. I was talking about Tyson Fury's clip.
Mm-hmm.
Tyson Fury, the boxer. He was, he's getting a little negative feedback on, Instagram, because he was saying that the world is coming to a state where anything goes. You know, you can change your sex. You can guys can go in girls' bathrooms now. You can have sex with animals. Well, he said soon it'll be legal everywhere to do that. But actually, in some states in the United States of America, you can actually marry your animal, your pet. Uh-huh. You know. So soon it'll be the going thing, you know, drugs and stuff, you know, everybody will be able to do that, you know, so you can get high anytime you feel like it, you know what I'm saying? It really won't matter, you know, and then even threw in the spiritual part of it where it says, ain't no heaven, so don't worry about it.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's all make-believe, so don't worry about it. So you just do what you want to do and everything will be fine. You know, everything will be fine, you know. And I just find it's funny because I'm seeing that happen. I'm kind of seeing that happen slowly but surely, bit by bit. Certain things are going in, Because one thing I learned about the human mind is that when you give it something, it always wants to push the envelope.
Uh-huh.
You know, so if you say, oh, well, this is okay, say, well, how about that?
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, that's okay, too. Well, how about this? And just keep on going until there ain't nothing else left. So that's just pretty much what it is. Because I even think about, like, the history of America when it comes down to sex, the sexes and sexuality. You know, like at one time, for instance, women didn't wear pants. They always wore dresses. But then you had the women's movement. You know, remember the cartoon character with the lady with the arms?
Yeah.
Something like that. You know, so now, you know, women can work in business jobs or that. You can dress like a man. You can do like a man. And fashion changed as a result of that. And I even actually read an article where it says the reason why they let women wear pants back in, like, the early 1930s or whatever is because they were doing jobs of men. And it wouldn't allow them to do the jobs with a dress on. They had to have pants for safety reasons. Stuff like that. But fashion world kind of came in and kind of orchestrated, you know, slowly put in women wearing pants as a fashion thing. And then before you know it, women would just wear pants all the time. You know, it's no big deal. Same thing with bathing suits. At one time, a woman was completely covered. Even a guy was kind of covered. You know, and then they started off, you know, kind of like nipping away at it, little mini skirts and stuff like that. And then before you know it, shit, now, you know, it's pretty much a string on about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's what I mean by pushing the envelope. You start off with one thing and say, well, how about this? Well, how about that? And before you know it, shit, why didn't you put any clothes on?
Right.
Or say even doing that, because I even seen it in New York where there was some protesters walking around. It was women. They were walking around with their breasts out, you know. And the whole thing was, you know, well, you know, you can go to Africa and you'll see when we walk around with the breasts out. How come we can't do it? You know? And that's just how that is, you know? Yeah. Now, and my thing is, when I think about stuff like that, my answer to that would be, in Africa, on a cool day, it's 108 degrees. So they wouldn't be into wearing a lot of clothing over there because it's so damn hot. You know, I mean, it's a different kind of heat over there. And if you ever been below the equator, it is hot as shit down there. So they probably wouldn't be wearing a whole lot of clothes or something like that, where maybe if you went to Europe and you were up in, you know, like in Russia or in Italy or something like that, where the seasons are changing, you know, drastically, you were probably more inclined to wear more clothing. And here in America, we have the same thing. Though maybe in Arizona or Texas it gets real hot, but most of the country it's going to be cooler. So it wouldn't be a natural thing for you to walk around naked. You would wear clothes just because of the elements. You know, but they want to walk around freely. Don't wear anything. And even though you see me naked, that don't mean that you should look at me any kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, but then who wouldn't do that? Even if you went to Africa and you saw somebody walking around with the titties hanging out, you won't be looking at the titties. Yeah, you're going to be saying, oh, well, I don't see no titties. They ain't there. It's just like they're wearing like Emperor's New Clothes thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, you walk around naked, everybody says, oh, he got some nice clothes on. No, that's bullshit. You're going to see what it is. You know, and you're going to act according to what you see. You know. A comedian made a comment about that at a show I went to. And funny about it, he caught me in it. He singled me out on the joke. Because what his joke was kind of like if a girl walked around, he was talking about how guys are. And a girl walked around with a big butt. And I say, damn, look at that. And I ain't going to say it's a big butt. I would just turn around and look. You know. And he actually did that. And I was the only one in the room to turn around and look. And he's like, see what I'm talking about? That's what he's doing. And everybody just laughed. Because that's the nature of a male towards a female.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if she looks, you know, looks good, she got the big boobs, the big butt, you're probably going to look. You know, even if it's just for a split second, you're going to look.
Mm-hmm.
And I say split second because you might be with your girl at the time, so you don't want to look too long. But that's what you'll probably do. It's just natural. So why would you think that if a bunch of women were walking down Times Square with their titties out, nobody's going to do anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I got sent to a girl on Facebook. And I forgot who made the comment about wearing a hoe's uniform. But what I said was, if you're dressing like a hoe, meaning your shit is all out, and a guy comes up to you and he treats you like a hoe, how can you be mad at the guy for treating you like that? How is he supposed to know who you are and what you're representing based on how you look? For instance, if I see a cop car pull up and a guy jumps out in a doctor's outfit, am I going to think he's a cop or am I going to think he's a doctor?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He's wearing a doctor's uniform, so how am I going to respect him as a cop? Yeah, you know, I'm looking for some pills or some shit when he come out of there. So that's how that goes. So if you're wearing you know, hooker outfit. And think about it. You, when I'm being you old school, look at some of the clothes these girls wear. Tell me that hookers wasn't wearing that 20 years ago.
Yeah, right.
That's how they was dressing. You know, because now with the hip-hop music and stuff like that, it's cool because they see what they see strippers on the videos. You know, they want to be like the people they see on TV. So they see the video vixens dressed like that, how they want to be. They want to be the same way. You know, because mind you now, when you look at the early 80s music videos, Friday night videos and that stuff came on, women were wearing regular clothes, dresses and all that type of stuff. You know, nobody was out there walking around looking like a stripper. You know what I mean? Even on a Rick James video, maybe.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? They wasn't really all that, you know, out there like that. But now it's like that. It's, you know, so now the people acting like that. You know, they act like what they see. You know, that's what they see. That's what they do. You turn it back around now and everybody looking like, what's her name? Leave It to Beaver's mom. Everybody started dressing like that. Everybody be dressed like that again.
Yeah.
Because they follow what, you know, what they see. You know? So that's it. I mean, you know, that's just how it go. You know? But we're in a messed up spot right now. You know? I don't know how that's going, if it's going to ever get better. You know, I doubt it. But, I mean, hey. My mom said before she passed away in 02, she said, I'm glad I ain't going to be around for the stuff that's coming.
Uh-huh.
You know? She said, because y'all going to go through some shit. You know? And I'm thinking the same thing with my kids and grandchildren. I'm like, can you imagine how it's going to be in 2020, 2030? Let's talk about hip-hop music in 2030. You know? And somebody made a comment about that on Facebook today, too. It was somebody like a space age. Like, I don't even understand what you're saying. Type rap music. You know? It's crazy. But, I mean, hey. You know? It is what it is. You know, if it's going to fix itself or if somebody's going to fix it, I guess we just have to stand by. But it is what it is. You know? But enough rapping on my side. I mean, anything you wanted to chime in on?
No. My mood ain't there right now.
All right, let's get back to some music. We got like about 20 minutes on the show, so.
Yeah, she don't cut the electric off.
She cut the electric off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maul, what up? Every day.
Yo, hood.
Sunny Montega, Reed Dollars.
Philly, nigga.
What's up? Keep rolling up, patrolling blocks like every day in my hood. What? These boys making every corner pop like every day in my hood. Yeah, bad bitches keep turning hot like every day in my hood. Self-recognized, marijuana, dope, how to rock every day in my hood. What? Cops keep rolling up, patrolling blocks like every day in my hood. What? Dope boys making every corner pop like every day in my hood.
Time change every day, be quick on your toes. Watch them niggas around you and the pictures they pose. See, the pictures never change, but these niggas ain't bros. Cause these niggas ain't loyal and these bitches is worse. Mom left me at 2 weeks, beginning of my curse. Now I can't trust my own self, I'm going berserk. The past 5 years put 5 homies in the dirt. Man, you know what that feel like? What's your life worth? What would you die about?
What would you die about?
What you live for? Cause every dying man's wish, he wish he did more.
He did more.
And this could be you, young and I fear for
it. All right, well, we're coming to the end of the show. We appreciate all of y'all listening to the archives and everything. So, you know, check us out again next week. And hopefully we have some interviews for you next week. But if not, we'll do what we do. So it's Mike and Just One Show, No Static Radio. We out.
We out.